Well, however you got here this morning, I trust that the Lord has, you understand that the Lord has brought us together. I'm grateful today we were making available our valet parking, but we are excited about this. Next week, we'll be getting more and more geared up, and so tonight we'll have a little announcement about, or more announcement about that valet parking that'll be going on next week, possibly at 10 and 11 to help some, and we'll take people right back here if that would be a blessing to you. And bring the car back at the end of the service. And so we want to do all we can to help folks as they come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so if that would help you, then we certainly would like to be an assistance in that manner. Well, it's a joy to have Dr. David Gibbs. He is a friend for many, many years, and my pastor introduced me to him so long ago. And he has always been a great blessing, not only to this church, but to churches all across this land. And to Christians as they stand for religious liberties and try to come in, or do come in there where those are being challenged and being infringed upon. And yet, not only that, but he's a very, very good friend to our church and Amy and I, and we're grateful for him. I told the other service one time years ago, I had to go tell Dr. Gibbs something that I didn't want to tell him, and if I didn't want to tell him, I didn't fear he wanted to hear it. So I always like to tell Dr. Gibbs things he likes to hear, but that one I had to go against my normal. But he was so gracious. It wasn't my fault, but we was a bad situation, but so gracious and so helpful. And as always, said, Pastor, we'll get through it. And he has been a tremendous blessing to us. Every time I hear him, God uses him in a special way to speak to my heart. And so I'm grateful for that. So Dr. Gibbs, thank you again for coming to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You're at home here. We're certainly glad that you are our friend and you're here this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. What a privilege and an honor to be here. And thank you for all that wonderful, wonderful music. Your choir was just exceptional, even though your choir director is a little bit peaked right now with all this baby business. That's tremendous. Congratulations. And thank you for those three young ladies. They sang so beautifully. And I noticed you had some instruments over here, and you have a trumpet player over here. I'm an old trumpet player from way back, and I always tell the young people, check the trumpet players out. They make great kissers later in life, okay? Nobody can out-kiss a trumpet player, okay? Now, whatever you do, don't marry a tuba player. They'll blow your brains out, all right? Totally different, totally different. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Mark, the Gospel, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Pastor, it is such an honor to be here. And I, in my mind, never thought our ministry would exist. Now, the whole idea of it was my wife. She said, if people are sued or challenged for the faith, she said, could we defend them and not make a charge? I said, sue for the faith? That's not going to happen in America. They're not going to be challenged in America for the faith. That's not going to happen, babe. Boy, was I wrong. Now, 54 years later, we get over 120,000 calls a year asking for help. And suddenly the faith is being challenged as never before in our beloved America. And people come up to me all the time and say, what can we do for America? And I always tell them the same answer. The hope of America is not in our politics. The hope of America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the hope of America is the local church, people getting sound in the Word of God. So if you want to do something for America, start witnessing. If you want to do something for America, go to your preacher and say, give me something to do in our church here. Yeah, but if I go to him and say, give me something to do, he'll give me something to do. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. I want to ask you a simple question. How faithful of a witness are you? I have found that in America, there is a major fall off of God's people witnessing. Now, there's not a fall off in believing we should witness. There's not a fall off in believing we ought to witness. There's not a fall off in believing we need to witness. but we're not witnessing. And now in America, we have more people every year trusting the Muslim faith than the biblical faith. Not in some other land, in America. And the question is, what would it take for you and me to start to obey what the Bible commands, and that is witness for Jesus Christ? Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's an absolute command given to every child of God. Go ye, you, into all the world. That's to your pastor, that's to me, that's to you, my friend. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I can't leave and go to Africa or Egypt or some other foreign land. I can't go to Asia. No, but you live in a world. And the question is, in the world that you live in, are you witnessing? Where you shop, where you work, where you obey, go and tell forth. That word preach there means tell forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's one thing we're all aware of. Every person in this room has an appointment with eternity. I hope you live a long time. I hope I live a long time. I love teenagers. They're so unbelievably stupid. They just are. And I say that respectfully. When you were a teenager, you were just that stupid. Teenagers don't ever think that they'll be age 40. They think between them and age 40 is 50 millenniums. But you blink your eyes twice when you're a teenager in your 20s, and you blink them once more and you're in your 30s, and after that, you don't get to blink at all. And now life is rushing by. And you and every person you know has an appointment with eternity. This life here, comfortable as it has been in America, is not eternity. One day you will leave this place. Now, I've preached the funeral for teenagers who stepped into eternity. They never thought they would die at that age. And I've preached the services for people that made it to 100. Wow. But there's an appointment with God. And if you're ready for eternity, it's because somebody shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Because listen what it says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Boy, this is serious business. The most serious business on our planet is, what do you do with Jesus Christ? Now, there's three reasons that we witness, and I want you to write these three reasons down this morning because they're critical. I'm watching this wane off, and it's concerning me at great level. The first reason we witness is because the Bible commands us to do it. There is no such thing as a good Christian who isn't witnessing. Oh, you may be saved, you may be heaven bound, but you're in sin if you're not witnessing. My wife and I, the first time we went to the Cleveland Baptist Church, I'll never forget it. We walked in, had never been in a church quite like that before, beautiful church, much like this one. And they set us down in a guest section, and we were sitting there. And our pastor walked out, and the first thing that he said, Dr. Roy Thompson, he said, last week, if you witnessed to somebody, if you handed them a gospel tract, or you took the time to tell them about Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for them so they can go to heaven, stand up. And then he said these words, and God help your sorry soul if you can't stand. Because it's a sin not to witness. Now, there were 3,000 people there. and 90% of them stood up. And my wife and I are sitting there next to each other, and she leaned over and she said, "Honey, we didn't tell anybody anything. We didn't witness to anybody. The truth is, honey, I didn't even think about it. I'm just busy with life." We are commanded by the Word of God to witness. And it's a sin not to do it. Wow. In our home church, there was a fellow there that had shocking red hair. Everybody called him Red. I don't know what his name was. But Red was the best witness in the Cleveland Baptist Church. And Red stuttered. When he would talk to you, you'd kind of want to help him finish his sentences because he would just get hung up on words. And I often thought to myself, how does this guy who stutters and has trouble talking, how does he win so many people to Christ? Well, one night, our pastor stood up and he said, if Red personally won you to Christ, stand up. And over 300 people stood up. One man. Now, Red worked in the tire manufacturing. Not in as an executive, he worked in the tire foundry. Dirty, hard work, physical work. And people started giving testimonies and they said, let me tell you about Red. We all work for Goodyear Tire and Rubber. When Red walks out on the foundry floor, he says to everybody, "I'm not working for Goodyear today, I'm working for Jesus. And if you want to see what Jesus means to me, watch me work." And then he does the work of 10 people. And then he tells everybody, "My Savior wants you to be able to go to heaven, and I'd sure love to talk to you." And that's his world. Wow. What's in your world? "Go ye into all the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mercy. My world is courtrooms, legislatures, traveling, motels, law offices. And everywhere we go, we start handing out gospel tracts because it's a sin for us not to witness. Now, we've never had nicer looking tracts. We've never had better materials. We've never had better training aids. And yet somehow now we're not witnessing. What would it take for you to obey this command and go into your world and preach the gospel? Tell people about Jesus. Can I remind you, it's a free gift? They can't earn it. They can't do one thing to deserve it. The only thing they can do is accept it. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you get to tell people about the free gift of life eternal. If you're saved, and how many of you here know the Lord is your personal Savior? Hold your hand up. If you're saved, that's because somebody told you about Jesus Christ. And somebody told you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved because my mother told me. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was someone at work. Doesn't matter. Somebody got the message to you. Now, Jesus said, "I want you to get the message to everybody else. I want you to tell them." And it's a sin not to do it. We do it because we are commanded to do it. Write number two down. We do it, number one, because we're commanded. We do it, number two, because we love Jesus. John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you love the Son of God enough who died for you, who paid for my sins? He didn't die on that cross for his sins. He died on that cross for my sins and your sins. Do we love him enough to keep his commandments? Wow, that's a great question. Now, if I came here this morning with a mega amount of money, if I brought millions of dollars, and I don't have it, but if I did, and if I were to say, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to give you $10,000 for every gospel tract you hand out today. You hand out one, you get 10 grand. You hand out 10, you get 100 grand. $10,000 for every tract you hand out. You'd say, where are those tracts now? I think I feel led to hand out some gospel tracts today. Because you love the money. Do you love him enough to do it? Do you love him enough to go into your world and tell forth the gospel? We do it because he commands it. And we do it because we love the Savior. Many of you have heard me tell the story of my mother who got polio when I was 8 years of age. My mother was our church pianist. And I've enjoyed listening to the instruments here today, especially the piano. She was a gifted pianist, Juilliard trained. And then one day, polio struck our house. I was 8. I still remember my mother saying, run, get your dad. I think I'm very sick. Polio spinal meningitis had visited us. My mom suddenly couldn't breathe. She couldn't move. She couldn't, from the neck down, do anything. The doctors came and brought an ambulance. I still remember them telling my dad, we're going to try to get her to the hospital alive, but we don't think she's going to make it, so you better say goodbye. And when you're 8 years old and somebody says that in front of you, I thought, what are you talking about? That's my mom. She did make it to the hospital alive. But she lived in an iron lung for 2.5 years. Couldn't breathe, couldn't anything. And for 2.5 years, all we could do was each night get a phone call. Is she still alive? Wow. Finally, my sister and I got to see my mother. And when they pulled my mother's iron lung up and she was on one side of a window separated because of the contagion, the minute she saw my face, she said, Davy, don't you think that? And how many of you know moms can read their kids' faces? I said, don't think what, Mom? She said, son, he's doing all things well. And this isn't what I planned, but this was for sure his plan. And son, I've had a wonderful chance to witness in this hospital. Trapped in an iron lung with 500 other people trapped in their iron lungs. This has become my world. Before my mom got out of that hospital, she led hundreds of doctors to Christ. She led hundreds of nurses to Christ. She led hundreds of other polio victims to Christ. Oh, her world was that platform, but God changed it. Where has God put your world? I don't know what it is, but I know this. Go ye into all the world. My mom, before she got out of that hospital, led hundreds and hundreds of people to Jesus in an iron lung where she couldn't move, could hardly talk. But she could tell them about Jesus. And that they didn't have to worry about her because she had eternal life. Number one, we do it because we're commanded. Number two, we witness because we love the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandment. I'm just too busy to witness, Brother Gibson. I'm not real good at it, and I'm shy. You'll come up with a reason. Stop it. Stop it. You're priceless to the cause of Christ. No one can take your place. No one. We need you. This command was addressed to every child of God. And you may not go into courtrooms like we do, but you go somewhere far more valuable, a world that we don't even see. And God says, I want you witnessing, telling people about what Jesus has done for you. We're going to do it because we are commanded. We're going to do it because we love him. And write the third one down. We do it because we love people. We do it because we love people. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. Please catch this. The Bible says if we don't love people in this world, the God you serve says we're nothing. And that's the word he uses. David, if you don't love people, and boy, there's some people, they're hard to like, let alone love. How many of you know some aggravating people? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah. How many of you have some in your own family? Hold your hand up. Yeah. How many of you are sitting next to one right now? Hold your hand up. Sure. You ought to deal with all the lawyers and politicians we have to deal with. My goodness. Sometimes I say, Lord, you got to just help me to be social. I'm just. You know what my Bible says? I'm commanding you to love your enemies. And you're going to tell them about Jesus because you love them. We're going to do it because it's commanded. We're going to do it because we love the Lord. And we're going to witness because we love people. Do you love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ? In Las Vegas, Nevada, there's a very famous act, a magician act, called Penn and Teller. These two men are just renowned in their magic skills. I've never seen them, but I've sure heard about them. And they put on these shows in Las Vegas, and people come to watch them do magic, sleight of hand and things. Well, one day while they were performing, there was a soul winner outside on the sidewalk handing out gospel tracts to people as they were walking into the show. And the main newspaper in Las Vegas came up and said to Penn, that must really aggravate you. Here you are putting on this show and this guy is here just handing out gospel tracts and telling people about Jesus. That must aggravate you, doesn't it, Penn? And Penn Jillette said, no, it doesn't. And I said, what do you mean it doesn't aggravate you? He said, well, you see, if you really believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you really believed that the Son of God came to this earth to pay for the sins of men, and if you really believe he died and rose again, if you really believe that, and if you really believe he offers as a free gift life everlasting, if you will just put your trust and faith in him, and what he did on that cross. We sang about it today. That cross called Calvary. And you can't earn it, you can't deserve it. The only thing you can do, it's a gift, is ask for it and receive it. He said, if you really believe that, he said, how much would you have to hate people to not want to tell them? How much would you have to want to see people go to hell when you have the answer for them not to go? We do it because we love people. Betsy Smith, her son is a dear friend of mine, a pastor. Betsy Smith is an elderly lady that lives in Florida. Her son is a pastor out on the West Coast in the Tacoma area. And one day she was bedridden and called her son and said, I need you to do something for me. And he said, what, Mom? She said, I need for you to get me a phone, just the cheapest phone you can get. And I need a phone book, a local phone book. And he said, what do you want that for? She said, son, I'm bedbound now. All these years I've been able to go to the mall. I've been able to go door to door. I've been able to go to church. I've been able to be a witness for Jesus, and now I'm bedbound. I'm sick. But I still want to be a witness. So what I'm going to do is pick names out of the phone book and call them and tell them about Jesus. And Mark Smith said to his mom, Betsy, that's so you, Mom. That's so sweet. But Mom, people aren't going to respond to that. She said, they'll have to. That's all I have left. I can't get out of this bed. I'm really sick. But I'm still commanded to witness. He said, Brother Gibbs, we brought her the phone and took it to her, got her the phone book. And she opened the phone book and put her finger down at random and picked a name, and it was a man's name. She called the man and she said, you don't know me and I don't know you. I'm Betsy Smith and I'm dying. But I got wonderful news for you. I have eternal life. You see, when I leave this life, I'm going to be in heaven forever because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I've picked your name out of the phone book to tell you the good news. You can have the very thing I have. That man didn't hang up on her. He spoke with her for over 30 minutes. And at the end of that, she prayed with him and he trusted Christ. And the next week he went forward at her church and got baptized. She started calling people with the good news, telling them about Jesus. Hundreds of people prayed the sinner's prayer with her. Well, how many of you think really meant it, Brother Gibbs? I don't know. I know this, 170-some walked forward at her church and got baptized off of a lady who said, this is all I have left. But I'm going to leave this life obeying that command. I'm going to leave this life because I love my Savior and I love people. They can know Jesus. Wow. What would it take for you today to make this simple commitment? God helping me, I'm going to start witnessing with some fervor. You have wonderful tracts out in the lobby, great tracts, wonderful gospel tracts. Those tracts don't do any good in a track rack. They need to be put in somebody's hand. You're in a wonderful soul-winning church, getting people here to hear the gospel. Oh, my. That's critical. I want you to know right now that we're at a junction in America, in my opinion. We're at a junction where Christianity, and here's what they say to us in court all the time. Your people talk like they mean it, but they don't do it like they mean it. They talk like they're serious about this, but they don't act like they're serious about it. Whether somebody goes to heaven or hell depends on us getting the good news to them. And I saw a sign one day that said something I never forgot. The good news is only the good news if somebody gets it in time. If somebody gets to use it in time. Because it's commanded, because we love the Savior, and because by the grace of God, by the grace of God, we love people. My mother went on to have a great children's ministry. My mother got at her funeral hundreds and hundreds of doctors and nurses who came, who said, when your mom was in that iron lung, she led me to Jesus. Absent where she was, I'd have never met her. And I'm heaven bound because of that lady. Who's going to be able to point to you and say, I'm heaven bound because of that man? I'm heaven bound because of that woman. Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. We do it because it's commanded. We do it because we love the Savior. And we do it because, by the grace of God, we love people. When I married my wife, I married into her family. By the way, my wife and I now have been married 61 years. This next week, it'll be 62 years. And by the way, my wife has good taste in everything but husbands, okay? How many of you men married way over your head? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you got a case of the stupids, all right? Let me ask again. How many of you men married way over your head? Hold your hand way up there. There you go. Praise the Lord. When I went to her family reunion, first time, I'll never forget it, there was a doctor there, a medical doctor, an uncle of hers. And he walked up to me. His name was Herb Salter. And he said, I understand you're a lawyer. I said, I am. And he said, I understand you married my niece. I said, I did. He said, well, I hate lawyers and I hate you. And I said, well, welcome to you too. But he warmed up after a while. And one day he came up to me and he said, you know, I drive a brand new Rolls-Royce convertible every year. I said, I noticed. I never knew anybody that had one, let alone drove one. He said, why don't you take it and drive it? I said, you want me to drive your Rolls-Royce convertible brand new every year? He said, yeah. I said, okay, thanks. We got in the car. My wife turned to me and she said, honey, he's not saved. And she said, I love him. Uncle Herb's going to split hell wide open. Honey, we got to tell him. She said, I brought gospel tracts. I said, okay. She said, at dinner, promise me we'll tell him about Jesus. I said, okay. We sat down at the dinner table and she handed me some tracts. And I got ready to talk to him, and his beeper went off. And he said, oh, I got to go to the hospital. It's an emergency. And he stood up and left. And when he left, my wife said, honey, I love that man. When are we going to tell him? Isn't it funny how comfortable we get with the thought we're going to do it? Just not now. A couple weeks went by and he got sick. My wife called me on the road. I was in a trial and she said, "Honey, Uncle Herb is at the hospital sick and he's calling for you." I said, "For me?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Why me?" She said, "I don't know, but he's sick." She said, "Promise me the minute you get home, you'll go to the hospital." And I said, "I will, babe." And I meant to. Only when I got off the plane, I got busy, phone calls, meetings. And when I got home that night, she said, "What happened at the hospital?" I said, "I didn't go, babe." She said, "Honey, he's sick. And I love that man." I said, "I'll go first thing in the morning." When I got up that next morning, Pastor, my wife was in tears. She said, "Honey, I don't know how many more chances we're going to get. Please, please, tell him about Jesus." I went down to the hospital, walked into the reception. I said, "I'm David Gibbs. I'm here to see Herb Salter, the doctor." They said, "Are you family?" I said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Sit right over here." I sat down and waited a minute, and two doctors walked out. And they said, "You're here to see Dr. Salter?" I said, "I am." "And your family?" I said, "Yes." They said, 10 minutes ago, he passed on. He's gone." I said, no, I'm here now. You don't have forever." When I called home, Gloria Ann didn't stop crying for a month. She said, "Honey, how did I let that happen?" We went and got every family member, every neighbor, every person we could think of. And I'm not the only one here with an Uncle Herb. You have family that is not saved. And you have the answer. Life everlasting. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you gotta be willing to do it. This is the most serious business in all of life. What happens to your 401k is irrelevant. What happens to the presidency is irrelevant. This is eternity. Where are the people going to be forever? Forever. By the grace of God, we're commanded. By the grace of God, we do it because we love Jesus, and we do it because we love people. I beg you this morning, the hope of the nation is the gospel, but somebody has to be willing to go and tell it forth. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you for these sweet people. Thank you for their sweet spirit. But now, by your grace, we want to be what you've commanded us to be. We want to be your witnesses. We want to be the ones who tell people the most important thing in life is to be ready for the day you leave this life. Heads are bowed. How many of you this morning say, "Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart. I need to be a more fervent witness. I need to be a faithful witness. My heart's been touched this morning. By the grace of God, I want to be the witness the Bible commands me to be. My heart's been touched, and God helping me, I want to leave here different than I've come. My heart's been touched. I want to be a more fervent witness." If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. Hold it up high. Yes. Oh, yeah. The devil just wants to get us out of here with no decision. What we've heard is irrelevant if we don't decide to do something with it. You raised your hand. I want you to get up out of your seat and make your way to this altar right now. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. You come right now. I raised my hand. I meant it. You stand up. You come right now. Come right forward. You raised your hand. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Oh, it's the most important thing in all the world. Somebody getting to know Jesus Christ. We can change this. By the grace of God, we can make a difference beyond anything imaginable. But we got to obey the command. And we got to love the Savior. And by the grace of God, we got to love people. Pastor.
Amen. As these are praying, would you join them here or there and say, Lord, it's you leading a life. It's too serious. It's too eternal. Folks, we've got to get back to getting the gospel to the people who desperately need it. We've been counting on chance. We've been counting on others. We've been neglectful. Would you make a holy vow to the Lord? Lord, I'll be more fervent in my witness. I've been convicted today. I need to get busy, busier than ever before. The time is shorter than it's ever been before. That means I need to be busier than ever. If you're honest, we've let some people slip off of our prayer list. We have quit trying to get the gospel to certain people. Let's re-enlist today. And one last request, if you're here this morning and you yourself, you're not saved. What Dr. Gibbs talked about, that need of the world is your need. If you're here and you're not sure that you know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? I'm going to ask, as some are returning to their seat, if you just for a moment stand together with us. Brother Daniel's right down here in the front. This verse is for you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've already heard that message about the need to share it. Maybe you don't know yourself. Would you come? Let Brother Daniel take the Bible and show you how for sure you can be certain heaven's your home, eternity is secure. You're settled. They'll play this one next verse. If there's that or some other reason you need to come. You follow the Lord. Thank you so much. You may look this way, not to get you up and down unnecessarily, but I'm going to have you be seated, and Dr. Gibbs is going to come and share just a word. This ministry is so vital to our nation. I'd like for him to just explain just a bit about it, tell how you can be involved, how you can get more information, and I think it'd be a great blessing.
Before I do that, let me just say this. I mentioned it this morning. I was in China at an underground church where if they catch you going to church, you get killed. And a young lady who sang a song before I preached came up to me and said, could I sing twice? I said, sure. Teenager, much like these young ladies that sang here this morning. And the preacher came up and said, the reason she wants to sing twice is she thinks this might be her last service. They're tracking her. And if they catch her, they will torture her and kill her. I said, wow. When she sang that morning, I just wept uncontrollably. But then she came up to me and she said, I have a prayer request. I said, what's that? She said, if they capture me, and I know they'll torture me, pray that I tell them about Jesus. Pray that I witness to them just like Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We live in such a blessed land. Please don't take our liberty here for granted. Tell people about the Savior. Tell them. Every month our ministry sends out a newsletter, and it's absolutely free. How many of you get our newsletter already? Hold your hand up. It's free. There's no charge. The only thing we ask is, would you please give me 2 or 3 minutes in a month and pray for what's in the prayer checklist? I'm asking you to take time to go to the Lord with prayer, and that prayer is invaluable. We win case after case after case, not because of great lawyering, but because God does what only God can do. I've often told the story. I was in Texas before their Supreme Court, and the lawyer for the other side came up and he said, David, you haven't got a prayer in there today. And I said, I do have. I said, right now there's thousands of people praying. And he said, that's not going to make a difference. I said, you're not going to see what David Gibbs can do in there. You're going to see what God can do in there. Please pray. Prayer moves the arm of the Almighty. Ask and ye shall receive. That's why we're begging you to pray. We won that case unanimously because God's people were praying, and we desperately need you to pray. Now, please, if you can help us financially, that's wonderful. But prayer is invaluable. Prayer is priceless. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, send me that newsletter. I'll give you a couple of minutes a month and pray for that prayer checklist. Ushers, come on forward. I don't get your newsletter, but send it to me. I'll give you a few minutes in a month. Hold your hand up, would you? Now give one to everybody whose hand is up in the air. Please just get that right in their hand. Thank you for doing that. And the minute you get that, fill it out. Please print. Somebody has to read it. Have you ever written yourself a note and you couldn't read the note you wrote yourself? Please print. Somebody has to read it. And we're going to pick these right back up. Please do that. This has been used for 54 years, this envelope. And God has just marvelously permitted us to serve. And I want to thank your church, Mercy. Your pastor's always thanking us. It's the other way. Thank you for letting us serve. We owe you, owe you, owe you just for the grace of letting us be servants. Thank you for that honor, that privilege. In the back are some books. We sell the books, but if you don't have money, we'll give you the books. We've given thousands of books away, and I just want to tell you about that. So if you're here and you don't have money, I'll give you a book. The only thing is, please don't fib to me about whether you have money or not, okay? How many of you all agree it's not nice to fib to Brother Gibbs? How many of you all agree with that? Understanding the Constitution, 10 things every Christian should know about the supreme law of the land. If you have never read the Constitution, I beg you, this is the document everything rests on. And we take our young men and women in the military, and this is what they swear to uphold. And this is what they are to give their lives for. What's in here that's worth dying for? 10 things every Christian should know about the supreme law of the land. And then One Nation Under God, 10 things every Christian should know about the founding of America. How did we get here? They want to tell you God had nothing to do with it. Read what the founders wrote. Not what was said about them, what they put in print. You will have it clear, absolutely clear. These books are in the back. And please, if they'd be a blessing to you, we want you to have them. Please, once again, witness, witness. Don't let that track rack stay full in the back tonight. Go back there and get those priceless tracks and give them to somebody. Share the good news with somebody. Somebody is going to hug your neck for all eternity because you took the time to tell them about Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor, whoever you're sitting by right now, and tell your neighbor, come on, I want you to be a better witness. Tell your neighbor, come on, I want you to be a better witness. Okay. Now turn back to him and say, and I'm going to join you too. And I'm going to join you too. Pastor, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hold those envelopes up in the air and the ushers will come collect them. And if you don't have it filled out yet, they'll catch them on the way out. Thank you, church, for letting us be here. What a great church. What a great job your pastor and his wife are doing. It is such a privilege. And congratulations on that new baby, okay? And by the way, we have a ministry on the side for young mothers. I should tell you about it. If she's ever upset with you for any reason, if she calls us, we kill you. It's real simple. Because it's a tough time for young moms, okay? So keep her happy, okay? I've lived under that threat now for 61 years, and I'm still breathing, so I think you'll be fine. Thank you, church. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, come on, let's tell somebody about Jesus. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Come on, let's tell somebody about the Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor?
Amen. Thank you again so much, Dr. Gibbs, and thank you for being here today. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Kluth, if he doesn't mind, to slip back to the table, and Brother Michael Adams, one of the lawyers there with CLA, will be up here with Dr. Gibbs if you'd like to come up and see him. But I want to thank you for being here. Be praying about this ministry. Pray and support. He does not speak lightly of what he said. He would take donations, I know that, but he means it with all of his heart. The best thing you can do is pray that God blesses and leads them and guides them as they try to help these churches and individuals in troubled times. So thank you again so much for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.